if I were to ask you this morning,
have you ever had a moment where you were overwhelmed? We'd all agree. We have. Maybe it's that first moment where you bring home a little baby from the hospital, and after 4 hours going shh, 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 switching to the other arm, shh, 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 all you want to do is cry, just go to sleep. I need some sleep. And then the child begins to grow, and you're overwhelmed because now you need to teach this kid to walk and to talk and how to use the bathroom, and then you prepare them for school, and then you send them off to university, and then you let them go. Whew. It's overwhelming raising a child. Maybe you've been overwhelmed, as we as a staff have this past week. Imagine coming in, and this is just a few brief pictures of where we started upstairs, tiling, coming out in one of the classrooms, to going to the youth room, and Pastor Jack and I being able to go for literally a swim. Coming down to the kitchen, and the kitchen has now been gutted, it's so wet, to the carpeting and the floor, and all you can do is say, what do I do? Well, you call the restoration company. And they've done, and they are doing an amazing job. But now comes the hard work as you wait for the insurance company, and then you got to make decisions about how carpeting will be replaced or tiling and how the kitchen will be replaced and what you're going to do for paint and for the roof. It's all so much, and it makes you wonder, what am I going to do? Or you become overwhelmed. Because you're living paycheck to paycheck. You're wondering how you're going to make ends meet. I suspect all of us can say this morning, I've been overwhelmed at some point in my life. I think of a teenager. Teenager is working hard to do school. They got all the regular stresses of life. But now more than other time, I think grades are so important. And you need to excel and get the highest grades, and even that's not enough. Your volunteer experience will probably be what helps you over the hump to get into university. And then you're overwhelmed because not only do you got to get good grades, is there going to be a job in your field when you're done? This morning, you're going to say, what does this have to do with anything? There's a passage in the Bible, in Joshua chapter 1, that gives us some great insights for life. Let's read together the word of God. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Imagine for a moment with me that you are Joshua. Moses, the servant of God, is dead. You've been the second in command for some time now. But now you're in charge. Moses was all that the people of God had known. And instantly, it's your job. And all you can remember is Moses. I mean, Moses met God by a burning bush. And a bush talked to him. Moses, through the power of God, was in Egypt when all of the plagues happened that finally Pharaoh said, "Let my people go." It was Moses, through the power of God, who stuck his pole in the water and the sea parted and all of Israel crossed over. And as soon as they were over, the water came crashing down. And Pharaoh and all his men were left behind. It was through Moses that there was manna and quail in the desert. It was through Moses that he hit a rock and water came out. It was under Moses' leadership that there was fire by night and a cloud by day to lead Israel in the wilderness. It was under Moses that he went up to the top of a mountain and he came down and the law was revealed. Guess what, Joshua? You're in charge now. But do you realize, God, who I'm following? I mean, look at all that Moses had done. I think of a pastor who comes into the church and he takes over after another pastor has been there for 20 years. And the pastor stays. He's involved in the life of the church. He was dearly loved. And all you can hear is the new minister say, "You want me to follow him? Or maybe you got a promotion that you're a boss now. And you're taking over from a boss that was well liked. Or you're the captain of a sports team and the former leader was well loved." I get what Joshua must be feeling. You want me to do what, God? And he hears these words. "Be bold and courageous." If you've got a Bible, otherwise I'll tell you the answer later. How many times does God say, in some form or another, to Joshua, "Be bold and courageous"? It's fairly reasonable to suggest that he's a little overwhelmed. Because here's what he hears. The land that you will receive, that had been promised to the Israelites some 500 years before, will extend from the desert in the south to Lebanon in the north, and from the great river, the Euphrates, in the east to the great sea in the west. Roughly 90 times this idea of the promised land is mentioned in the book of Joshua, some 200 times in the book of Deuteronomy. This is huge. I want you to catch two things here. One is what we call the lower story. One is called the upper story. Joshua, in the lower story, is very significantly a part of doing what God had promised about giving the people the promised land. And it was Joshua's role to take the people to the land flowing with milk and honey, to the land which God would give them, and there they would bloom and they would prosper. But I want you to catch the upper story of God, because it was more than Joshua. It's the story of the true Joshua. It is the story of the true promised land, because it's there in the promised land that we hear more of the story being set in motion about redemption. It's there in that story of the promised land that we hear the story of Jesus, the Messiah. It's a story where we see the life of Jesus being lived out. It's the place where Jesus would be crucified and died and would raise again, and who would lead us into the true promised land, the land of all of eternity with God. And so Joshua is a part of something very significant. It's your job now, Joshua. Take the people in. Be bold and courageous, he's told. What an ideal world, isn't it? To be bold and courageous when life doesn't seem to make sense. Where there's a world that is free from stress and of problems. And we go along all the story of our lives and we say, yes, God, I want to be bold and courageous. But then comes that little child. And our world is upside down and we don't know what to do. Water pours into a church building like Niagara Falls. And you're overwhelmed. And suddenly you don't know what to do. But God says, as he did to Joshua, I know what to do. I'm in control. But there's a deeper story for us in this passage as well. Be bold and courageous. Take the people over to claim the land that I had promised. And he knew they were stubborn. He knew they had wooden shoes, wooden head, and sometimes wouldn't even know. They had it all together, they thought. And he was so used to saying, you know what? I'm done. Go talk to Moses. You know, Moses, they're your problem. But he can't do that anymore because Moses is gone. He's being called to take that step of faith and to lead the people to where God wanted them to go. Do you notice a few things that I think are significant in Joshua? Joshua answered the call of God without delay, without procrastination, and he did so immediately. God called him to a task, and Joshua responded by taking the place of Moses. There's something for us in that, isn't it? Because remember, the story of Joshua is not only about the promised land. It's setting in motion for the people of God the grand story of redemption. It wasn't simply about the one promised land. It's about the true promised land. And so God calls you and I to be the Joshuas of the day, to stand in the place of Moses, to fill the gap that needs to be filled, to tell the story of grace and of hope and of mercy and of the love of God. And he says, do so without delay. Do so without procrastination. Proclaim the true Joshua, Jesus. And proclaim the message of salvation and eternal life in Christ alone. See, when you read the story of the Bible, it's not only about that one story. There's always a deeper story that goes on with the Bible. And it's always about what I just mentioned and how God is calling us to that new life and new faith in Christ and eternal life. Joshua answered the call of God with confidence and faith, knowing that the Lord, his God, was with him. When God calls you and I to be courageous in the daily routines of life, like children and university and work and floods, he's saying, I'm in control. And when it comes to the story of your life, it is seen in the story of Joshua. Because God is leading us through the daily ordeals of life into a deeper understanding of his presence. So he says, be bold and courageous. Follow where I lead you, because I am with you. But he also led with an understanding. Because do you remember what happened 40 years before? Joshua was with the Israelites at the threshold before. And Joshua sends in spies. And remember, almost all of them came back and said, we can't do it. And so they were made to wander a little bit more. But Joshua kept his eyes on God. And he began to understand that there was more to the story. God is calling you and I this morning to something more. Do you hear it? Do you hear the story of God as he was with Joshua and how he placed Moses in his life to prepare him for that very moment where they would cross over into the promised land? Do you hear the very story of God and how he had led you in the raising of a child? The story of how God had led when work seemed so insurmountable, when the work kept piling on, when the idea of the 40-hour work week went out and now it's 60. And God gives you the strength to do it. Or God gives you the wisdom as you keep your eyes on him to understand of where to go to school, of where to go to work, to what God is calling for us as a church. What are the things that God has prepared you to do? What are they? Let me ask you an even harder question. When's the last time we've reassessed our life and said, God, what do you want it to be? Where do you want me to go? Maybe as a church. What do you want from us, God? And what I love about the story of Joshua is true in the story of ourselves. Is not only will God never leave us, but God has already prepared the way. And as he was with Moses, as he was with Joshua, as he is with us, I will be with you wherever you go. So don't turn to the left or to the right, but keep your eyes on Jesus. And he tells you how to do it. He says, proclaim the word of the Lord, or let not the word depart from your mouth. See, God wants you and I to keep focused, to realize life isn't about the messiness of life. There is messiness of life. But our lives and our focus is on the promised land. It's on eternity with God. And when your eyes are beginning to be focused on Jesus, it keeps things in perspective. It helps us to understand and realize where we're going and what it's about. And it reminds us God has shown up in all the ways of Joshua and all the ways of Moses. God shows up in our story so we will continue to see his leading and guiding. Proclaiming the word of the Lord keeps us from sinning. But it also helps us to see the big picture of what life is really all about. He then says this, meditate on the word. We've heard it before. Talk about when you sit and when you rise. Talk about when you sleep. Write it on your forehead. Why does he want us to meditate on the word? It's because the more you and I are in the word of God, the more it becomes something we long for and pursue and are passionate about. The more it's going to sink to the very depths of our being. And when that moment needs to come, when we have that moment where we're overwhelmed, the very word of God will come alive and be vibrant and active and living. And it will give us the strength to carry on. And then he says this, do all that is written. Why? Because then we will understand the reality of the truth of the gospel. And it will come to life. Schneider, I'll close with this, tells the story of one day he was at university and he ended up getting a roommate who was a Muslim. They became friends very, very quickly and they started to talk about faith and what they believed. The Christian asked the Muslim young man if he ever read the Bible and he said no. To which he asked the Christian, "Have you ever read the Quran?" To which he said, "No." So they both agreed to read each other's holy book. They began to have more and more discussions. Within a few weeks, the Muslim young man accepted Christ. One night, he burst into the room where that young Christian roommate was, and he said, "You deceived me." "What are you talking about?" he said. He said, "I've been reading the book just like you told me, that it is a living and active word. Here's why I'm upset. You knew that the word of God contained not only the presence, but the very power of God himself." The contest wasn't even fair from the very beginning. "You knew that God's word was alive and active." People of God, from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation is the story of God. And in that story is your story. It's a story of the Redeemer who loves you and pursues you and wants you to be a part of his forever family. Here's his word for you this morning. Be bold and courageous. Follow God with a relentless passion, and you will not be disappointed, because God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will be with you and will use your story in the struggles and in the good times to point people to the resurrected Christ. And many people whom you may not even know, whose stories you may have a one-time moment in, may today walk into the promised land. So be bold. Be courageous. And God will use you. Amen. We're going to pray. We want to give thanks with Alistair and Monique, who could be married yesterday and made the commitment to be husband and wife. We want to give thanks for that, but pray for their marriage. Also want to pray for the ongoing renovations that are going to have to take place. It's going to take a while for everything to get back to where it is, but we want to give thanks to the restoration company, because tonight after we're all gone and the other church comes out, they're going to come back and they're going to set things up so we can dry out some more, and then we can begin to have conversations as to next steps. So I want to ask you to pray for us as a staff as we kind of lead that, but also pray for our council as we need to make some decisions as to what's going to go on with that as well. So would you pray with us? Lord God, we give you thanks that you are ruler and reigner supreme. Lord, we thank that the flood that we have, Lord, although it went from the roof all the way to the parking garage, Lord, isn't as bad as it could have been. And Lord, even in the midst of the messiness of that, Lord, we thank you for this company and Ray, who is leading the team, who has been so clear in communicating with us, but Lord, who has been so diligent to just do his best, that hopefully we can get on back on track fairly quickly. We want to pray that this building would continue to dry out. We pray that in the midst of the messiness that you would allow us to continue to do ministry. Because as the building is messy, Lord, we know life is messy. And we just want to pray for wisdom for us as a staff and a council as we wait for further words and next step as to what has to happen. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless that process and that, Lord, as things begin to get put back together, that, Lord, you would continue to use this place, Lord, for an effective reaching out for the kingdom of God. And Lord, we just want to give you thanks for all the gifts that are used to make that happen. And Lord, we give you thanks for Alistair and Monique yesterday, who could declare their love for each other, and Lord, who not only could declare their love for each other, but could begin the first step of building a marriage. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless them with a long and a healthy marriage. We pray that their marriage would be a witness to the story of God, and that you would use them and you would bless them, Lord, in the variety of ways, in the different areas in which they live and serve and move, and that they too, with us, could continue to build your kingdom here in Richmond Hill. Lord, thank you for the silent prayers that can be offered this morning. Because for many of us, Lord, we know what in some way what Joshua felt like to be overwhelmed. And Lord, we take solace and comfort in the fact that in whatever it is we're going through, we can be bold and courageous. Didn't say it's going to be easy, but we can be bold and courageous because you are with us. And that somehow, in ways that we might not even see yet, you are fulfilling the bigger story in our lives. And Lord, we pray that you would use us and bless us and make this congregation a vibrant testimony to the amazing grace of God, as we see in so many ways already. In your name we pray. Amen.